Support for X-Ray comes from Beeline Urban Delivery. Beeline supports businesses with access to zero-emission delivery, warehousing, and advertising services. More at b-linepdx.com.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from Alberta Abbey. The Alberta Abbey is a nonprofit venue nurturing the arts in Northeast Portland by amplifying opportunities for Black and underrepresented communities. They provide studio, gallery, and performance spaces to local artists and art organizations, and showcase diverse programming for local groups of all ages. More information, event calendar, and tickets available at albertaabbey.org.
Hi, this is Peter Case, and you're listening to X-Ray FM.
You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And on the coast in Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online and on demand at xray.fm.
Every Tuesday at 2 p.m., join me, DJ Barbarella, in studio live with a local artist, musician, or event organizer. Hear what's new and upcoming in the local scene, with new music releases and debuts. Plus, hear a special curated playlist each week from every guest. All on X-Ray, where radio is yours.
Hello, 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 X-Ray listeners. You are tuned into Flying Saucer Safari. I just so broke that mic. Flying Saucer Safari here on X-Ray FM, and I am super, super stoked here for my guest in here today, who was actually on the show just a few weeks ago to promote an amazing series of singles for all the bands that were there. And now, Alicia J. Rose is back.
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm
bigger,
back,
better
baby.
Than ever. Back, baby. She's back. And you're here to talk about this amazing documentary, which I feel like you have so much better words to describe. So tell me all about Menopunks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's got her mic. She's rocking out. So Menopunks is a, I'll just give you the pitch, Hannah, and everyone else can listen to it as well. It is a myth-shattering feature documentary about perimenopause and menopause and the creative process as told through the lens of defiant Gen X indie Riot Grrrl musicians, trailblazing doctors, and I like to think of them as potentially cranky, very unfiltered celebrity culture bearers.
I saw a reel the other day, and I should have sent it to you, but and I'll still have to go and find it. But it was, it was talking about how, you know, the feminine rage and how you know, women, we just we see our blood a lot more, right, in life in general.
We're so familiar with blood,
you know, and
how'd that happen?
And that rage, and she was in the reel, she's like, and guys don't even know that. You know what? I'm gonna change that right now. And she like stops.
I mean, it's interesting. So the movie is in production, very early stages of production. We've done about 8 interviews with our core participants, who are amazing local musicians and doctors, right? So should I just tell you who's in the film?
Yes,
so we're sort of at an early stage. We're fundraising. We're gonna continue filming in a more significant way in the fall. But our Anna is trying to fix the mic, just you guys, for behind the scenes. It's a little bit of a slapstick comedy, but anyway, in the film, I am talking to basically like 5 incredible women that I have known for about 30 years, give or take. Corin Tucker, incredible musician from Sleater-Kinney. She used to be in Heavens to Betsy, Cadillaca. She's in Filthy Friends also. She's just, you know, obviously an icon, like next level icon. We're friends. I've made a music video for her. I've worked with her in sort of professional ways. I've opened for her band, Party Witch. My band is open for her band, Filthy Friends. And actually, Night Brunch is opening for Sleater-Kinney coming up in just a few weeks at Revolution Hall.
I didn't realize that they were opening for them in September. Yeah,
so exciting. So Corin is one of them. Gilly Ann Hanner, who's an old friend of mine from way, way back. She was in Calamity Jane, so one of the OG kind of indie rock, Riot Grrrl era musicians from Portland, Oregon. Calamity Jane, we'll play some of their music later. We're just like... just such a next level, you know, finger in the face. I won't tell you which finger.
you know.
I think you know if you're listening to the Menopunks radio show, radio hour with Hannah, DJ Barbarella. But so Gilly Ann is incredible. She and I have been friends for a long time. Our bands have played together, and we've got Jen Spraja, who's also an incredible indie musician. She's in All Girls Summer Fun Band and the Softies. Of course, I can't not mention another amazing participant, Jody Bliley, who's in was in Hazel, one of the more famous bands to come out of the early 90s here in Portland, but also Team Dresch, who is arguably, in my opinion, more famous, but I mean, it just depends on who you talk to.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan of all of those things, and whatever Jody does, I mean, oh my God, she's so funny. Oh, she's so funny in this film, and all the stuff I've talked to her so far has just made my brain explode, because she's just such a badass. And then last but not least, Kathy Foster from The Thermals and Roseblood and All Girls Summer Fun Band. And they all have really different experiences, you know, in this sort of Menno zone. And really, I kind of approached them all like, would you want to be in this film? And at the time, I didn't know exactly what it was going to be. It wasn't called Menopunks yet, but it was called Lifers. And we were all talking about being lifelong musicians. What is it like to go through menopause? If you're also trying to be creative. And then what happened is I got invited to this incredible menopause conference called the PDX Menopause Collective Conference, and it was put on by a collective of doctors, now of which three of those doctors are now in the film. So an incredible doctor. Shout out to Dr. Aoife O'Sullivan, also known as PortlandMenopauseDoc.com. She is just like, oh my God, she's Irish, and just, I gotta tell you, like, so funny and hilarious and wonderful, and honestly, like, such a down-to-earth medical practitioner. Somebody who, you know, in all of our conversations has been really, you know, so upfront with all of her feelings, good or bad, about where she's been at in the medical world. We're also talking to Dr. Andrea Matsumura, also known as Sleep Goddess MD. She's a menopause specialist who's a sleep doctor, right? Okay, so she brings menopause and perimenopausal stuff into her understanding of sleep medicine, which is pretty cool, right? And then I've got another one, incredible osteo or orthopedic surgeon, Nancy Yen Shipley, who's like, just speaking of badasses, this woman is a bone cracker of the most badass. So I'm gonna say the word badass. Somebody should just
do it. You can't help but describe all of these women in that way.
I mean,
right?
Yes,
that's what they are. Like, they are, yeah, just accomplished, like, just crushing, you know, the game and future ahead of the game. So much too.
Exactly, and it's so interesting because the sort of medical participants are going to kind of combine with my rocker participants, and you know, a few of the musician participants are going to go through, you know, properly modeled menopause and perimenopausal treatment, mm-hmm, through Aoife, and that will be great because I think it will really, hopefully, I mean, we're doing it in a very mellow way, but we are not really involved in any of the actual stuff that's going on. We are sort of just like doing exit interviews and finding out what people feel and think, and not getting it. Privacy is privacy, right? Mm-hmm. But like, we're going to be along for the ride. And I think modeling what like good care looks like in this space is a big deal. And we haven't even talked about really like, why, right? There's a reason why. But maybe we can play a little music, and
then
we can come and talk about the heavy stuff. So
yes,
you're getting a taste. Go to menopunks.com, yes, to discover more about the film. We do have a platform. There's merch. There's tax-deductible donations. We're being sponsored by, fiscally sponsored by an incredible organization called Catalyst Film Collective. Okay. We'll talk more about that later, too, but should we hear a little Dig Me Out?
Yes. You picked a great track to start out with, and I'm so excited to hear more about this. And there's a really great teaser as well on the Instagram. Definitely, like, listeners.
And on the site. Yeah.
And on the site. So go watch that. I feel like
they're
that,
all
like,
in it.
Fired me up more, even more, to talk to you here today. That I was like, oh my gosh, this is, I think just like hearing women's experiences is so much exactly what we need constantly.
Well, especially in Gen X, I feel like we are the generation where the lies stop.
Yeah.
Where the disinformation, like, if we don't know what disinformation is, I mean, come on, like, we're dealing with it on such a major level. And we, Gen X specifically, are the only generation to enjoy the privilege of full bodily autonomy for our entire reproductive lives, for the most part.
That's crazy to think about.
Think about that. I'm a Zoomer. I'm not actually a Zoomer.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
my
no.
stepson is. But I zoom out a lot, and I'm thinking about, yes, well, this is weird, because I'm 55, and, yep, you know, when I'm hitting perimenopause and menopause, like, I did it within the zone of 1973, yeah, obviously, to 2-3 years ago, or whenever Roe was overturned, right? So, I mean, That's interesting. So, I mean, we know fully what it feels like to be free. And so I feel like Gen X has to sort of lead the way. But let's let Slater Kinney lead the way.
I love that. Okay, okay.
Dig me out.
And with that, dig me out. Here we go.
Take me out, take me in. Hanging wallpaper.
X-ray listeners, that was such a good little rock block. Thank you so much for, if listeners are just joining us here, I'm here with Alicia Rose of, well, so many things. You have such like an amazing pedigree and history and life experience. Busy babe. But you're here to talk about Menopunks.
Menopunks.
An amazing film documentary.
It's not made yet, but it will be really amazing once it's done. But we're, yeah, I mean, it is in process. And there's already a teaser that exists that you can watch at menopunks.com. That's menopunks.com. We are a movie in the making, and I don't usually do press this early in the process, but, you know, I kind of wanted to bring people along for the ride. And also what's going on is I am discovering so much, I would call it harrowing information about not just the state of menopause and perimenopause care, but also like why it's in the state that it's in. And that has like disturbed me on such a profound level that I'm like trying to do press as I go, because this isn't a normal movie where you're like, I don't want to tell people my story until it's done. It's in Sundance, like, whatever. Like, I mean, I want to tell people the story as we go every single day. That's why I'm so active on Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff, because I mean, it's a hot mess. Like, I've never seen anything more messy. And the real problem is I'm 55. My friends are suffering. Mm-hmm. They're suffering. They're stubborn, or they're stubborning. Anyway, they're stubborn and suffering, or they're finding help. But, you know, we're still having the Whisper Network help us too much. And the worst part of all of it is that we are being actively gaslit by the entire medical establishment. And
yeah,
that might sound a little conspiracy, but here's the crazy thing. It's really not, because yeah, the misinformation that came out in 2002, we can talk about that later, but from the Women's Health Initiative study, results were like really like interpreted in a really sort of bad, in a way that was very biased. Mm-hmm. Bringing a non-statistically significant result from an outlying part of the study to the center, mm-hmm, and sending that out with the press and a report that the researchers never even got to have input in. Mm-hmm. So like that information for 23 years that HRT causes breast cancer,
yeah,
basically made it so that all of midlife care went poof, because all the doctors were like, well, you know, why study it if we can't really do anything about it that would be holistic in any way? So let's just create 10,000 other industries, like, you know, antidepressants, mm-hmm, and statins, and, mm-hmm, you know, all, so many vitamins and supplements and things, some that are good, some that are bad, some that are really just, you know, snake oil, to make a ton of money exploiting women in the perimenopausal to menopausal range, which is really like 35 to 69. I mean,
yeah, no, real.
That's a lot of life.
I feel like people don't really understand that peri starts so much earlier than you think. Like, I am in that age range right now. And yeah, it's understanding. It's like, no, we are all affected. And I wanted to comment earlier on just like a phrase that you used and kind of bring more light to that of the you called it a whisper network.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just something so important to highlight, that like I feel like someone who is on social media, I have learned more from the like the whisper network of social media of women telling their stories than I have from from school and academia and doctors. Because because it's sad. Yeah, I mean, because
it's true,
like,
though.
Yeah, because women are able to, without judgment, share our stories, have them be heard.
I mean, so it really shouldn't be like this, but this is the way it is, which is what's going on. And like, we started, you know, the film kind of really cohesed in March of this year. And as soon as I put it on the internet, like, menopunks, people were losing their minds in a great way, because it became suddenly like this neo-dualistic term I stuck together in my brain, thinking about menopause specialists and punks in my head. And how do I make a film that encompasses both perspectives? And then menopunks popped out, right? Like, but it's beyond me, right? Like, it may have popped out of my brain at this moment to encompass this, all this stuff, but people are seeing themselves in it in a really exciting way, because you know what? Like, look, menopause and perimenopause sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks hard, and it happens to everyone. That means 51% of the population is going to go through, without choice, perimenopause or menopause. It may happen differently for everybody in different ways, different times, different level of symptoms. I mean, there's just, it's a whole, you know, it's a huge fabric of all these different ways, a quilt of the way we experience this, but we all experience it. There is no avoiding it. And the way it was described to me recently that kind of blew my mind was that if you think about what happens during perimenopause, you're going up and down and up and down with your hormones. By the time you get into menopause, you're all the way down. You're off a cliff. It's literally the hormonal equivalent to castration. So a man, if they lost all their testosterone, if their gonads, as it were, got chopped or squeezled, or whatever happens to get, you know, to vasectomize. That goes out to my partner, John, squeezling.
Medical term.
That's a medical term. But like losing all that, losing all of our estrogen, of our testosterone also, and progesterone, all of those things go down into the ground. And we are left, like, every single cell in our bodies have estrogen and other hormone receptors. So it affects every single part of the way that we exist. Mental health, you know, brain fogs, headaches, bone health. And so while I started kind of digging into the things I needed to do, talking to my participants, my musician participants, then talking to the doctors, I started realizing, okay, well, wait a second. Some of my doctors, like Aoife, were saying, well, those results are wrong. 2002, you know, the hormone therapy does not broadly cause breast cancer. Mm-hmm. That is a lie. And I'm like, it's a lie? Really? Huh. So I started researching on my own, and lo and behold, I found all these papers kind of authored by different scientists and doctors in the field, you know, criticizing the original study. One of them calling for an independent investigation into the quote, I swear this is a quote, sordid behind the scenes manipulation of the results in 2013. Wow. That was like called for as a investigation. It was ignored.
Yeah, of course.
There's been tons of articles and press saying that's not the way it is, but nothing really sticks. And I talked to couple different people really like hardcore into the menopause field. Two different doctors, one of which was an original researcher and one of which who founded the North American Menopause Society. The original researcher told me a couple things that were really like hair-raising. I mean, there's so many things that were hair-raising, but
yeah,
one of them was that, you know, this study was really, I mean, it wasn't a terrible thing, right? This was 165,000 women were brought on and starting in 1993 to be in this study. And I found it was promoted and kind of in the world, it was sponsored by the Golden Girls, which this is new. Nobody knows this because I really dug to find this information. But the Golden Girls encouraged all these women between the ages of 50 and 80 to sign up for the Women's Health Initiative study. It was a big deal. Like the first time women had ever been studied for really anything because like up until that point, like everything had only been tested on men. They're like, we don't want to sacrifice
even
women.
In other species as well. This is what I'm finding too, that even in other species, it's really only males that are studied.
I mean, do they not know we don't mind being studied? I mean, it's like totally fine. You can study me. Like I'm studyable. You're studyable. Like I'll answer a thing. I'll take a thing, like, you know, well, maybe not at the moment, but
well, and what I've recently kind of learned too is that it was like kind of under this sort of statement of like, well, you know, women's hormones are too unpredictable, but men actually have the more sort of unpredictable ranges of hormones, which is very interesting. Also, I wanted to touch on something that I saw in your feed that was kind of on changing terminology to better fit what the description is, and I'd like you to speak a little bit on that of like, because you're talking about a lot about like hormone replacement therapy and
hormonal optimization.
Yes, thank you. So speak more on that.
Well, I want to kind of go back to what I was talking about.
Yes,
if you don't mind
finish your statement.
Let me tell this little story. Maybe we can play a little music. Then we can come back and talk about my whole opinion about MHT, which is menopausal hormone therapy, which they want to call it, versus HRT, which is hormone replacement therapy, versus hormonal optimization, which I think is a much less gender biased term.
Yeah. So
we'll bookmark that.
Yeah.
But
So
one of this key researcher I've been talking to basically told me that, you know, they were brought to a conference to talk about this upcoming results that were going to come out be released to the Journal of American Medicine and to the press about the study. But when they got the sort of paper, the article that they were supposed to be able to have input in, they were told that ultimately, they could have no input in it, and it was already in the warehouses to be distributed. So they tried. They really tried. They convinced them to give them a chance, but it was all a folly. It was BS. They tried to change it, and then basically they ran to the publisher of Journal of American Medicine, and Journal of American Medicine's like, sorry, buds, it's already going out. So all these researchers were devastated, and they're like, well, if you release this, this is going to destroy so many people's lives, because at this point, this is 2002. Now, think about this. Like, hormones were getting more, they were starting to be popular in the 70s. A lot of discovery happened in the 60s. In the 80s, they started getting really popular. By 1995, it was 25% of women within the menopausal age range who were on hormone therapy. That's a lot of women. And then by 2002, when these results were released, it was 40%. Of women. That's a lot of women.
That's a huge amount of the population.
And I'm on the other side of HRT now, and I'm like, oh man, I know what they didn't want. Mm. Like, they didn't want us to feel this power. So so basically, like, 2002, they had that chance, but, you know, in the 90s, it was very controversial. Women were like, yes, just, like, super into it. And I read an article in Time magazine that was like, you know, what's this estrogen dilemma with women? And basically it was like, you know, women are popping hormones like candy. And, you know, is this the future? Women taking these pills to make them feel good forever so that they don't get old and anti-aging, blah, blah,
How
blah.
How dare they?
How dare they feel good forever when men can't feel good forever? I mean, it was like that was the narrative.
Yeah.
And as it kind of progressed, like, and more women went on it, I think there were other factors of not wanting women to feel that empowered, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So there's more to this story, but I feel like we don't want to bog it down with too much of my wild radicalization.
I love hearing it. It's so informative. And I remember seeing a little clip, too, that was talking on the percentage of that estrogen.
Where we're at now.
Helps about, like, 23%. Like, talk more on that.
So women, right, 40% seems like a lot, right? Like, that's a lot. And then the WHI results came out broadly vilifying HRT as causing breast cancer. It rocketed down to under 4%. Mm-hmm. This is in 2002. Mm-hmm. Now we're at under 2%. Mm-hmm. Think about that. And also the hormone therapy we have now is so much better. We have bioidentical hormone therapy that literally matches what's inside our body. And look, I'm not trying to say that everybody should do hormone therapy. What I really am advocating for within the film is a new baseline of truth and the tools for effective self-advocacy. Because the problem with that article being released in JAMA in 2002 is that is still the gospel on women's health. And so we are going to our doctors suffering, asking for help. And what's happening is they're like, it causes breast cancer. And we're like, no, it doesn't. They're like, but it said, no, it doesn't. Like, we're fighting with our doctors, basically. And then they're like, well, okay, but you can only have the shortest dose or the smallest dose for the shortest amount of time. And that is also not good medicine, if you know anything about HRT. And typically, they'll prescribe some level of synthetic hormone, which I was prescribed medroxyacetate progestin, which is terrible, causes bloating and all kinds of other problems with a bioidentical estrogen. So that's, I had a combo. And then only just in March did my doctor finally go to a seminar and then sort of educate me and then switch me over to micronized progesterone, which is incredible and helped me with a million things. And now I'm also on a little bit of testosterone gel. And I got to tell you, like, I am fully optimized. So,
yeah.
But okay. Speaking, I'm glowing.
Like, I was just gonna say you, but you really are. You have like amazing energy. Can I just
Thank
say
you.
For one, like you're a powerhouse, and like Sarah. You know it shows. Like you're ready to like. I think to kind of circle back to something you said at the very beginning of like the why really behind this. Like you saw something that like mm-hmm. it matters, and it matters now that people know so much ahead of time along the way, right? That you want to inform people. That's like
absolutely.
The goal so much of your documentary seems is so much more of informing people.
Absolutely. It's about informing people. But also for me, like I mean, maybe it was a stoner moment in the backyard or maybe it's like a revelation, but like I really see a connection between 23 years of systemic disempowerment of women and people with ovaries that have led us to this SH, this hellhole that we're in politically and socially. Like, what is happening? And I look at that and I'm like, where are the Gen X people with ovaries? Where are the men? The men are like next to the women who are miserable. The women are like, I have no energy. Because let me tell you, I may seem energetic and pumped up and doing all these great things now, but Hannah, 2 years ago, I was a hot mess. I thought I wouldn't be able to be on stage again playing with my band Party Witch. Mm-hmm. I certainly couldn't imagine doing what I'm doing now with this film. I needed a hip replacement because my hip hurt so much I couldn't stand up at shows for longer than 10 minutes. I mean, it was, the list is way deeper than that. My brain was affected with brain fog. My ADHD got way worse. That can be affected with with perimenopause and menopause.
I've heard that, yeah.
And so like I was miserable, but now I am not, and I'm on the other side. And granted, again, it's different. This journey is different for everybody.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Some people have contraindications, but the thing you need to know more than anything is what the actual truth is so that you can make your decision about
yes.
how to take care of yourself and how to self-advocate with a doctor and know when a doctor isn't doing you any good and to leave that doctor and to get a second opinion or a third opinion. We're fighting too hard for this right now. And we need to be given what we want now. And punks know how to do it. So let's listen to Hazel.
Yes.
And go to that's such a sound. Oh my God. On that note,
like a crowd roaring almost, right?
So I'm Alicia J. Rose from Menopunks. That was the crowd roaring for the movie. If you're interested in the film, please go to menopunks.com, menopunks.com. Please sign up on our mailing list. Feel free to, you know, browse the merch. It's all part of it. It's on demand and really goes to support our filmmaking efforts. And there's also, we have a nonprofit who's fiscally sponsoring us. So any donation you make through our website that you'll see that on there is tax deductible, which is pretty cool. So we are just like really trying to fundraise right now for production in the fall. So, you know, I know this sounds kind of wild. And before we go into Hazel, I will say that, like, you know, my intention is to really like spark a tidal rage. Ooh, my intention is to spark a tidal wave of rage in our generation so that we can all feel better. And then like TCB, because these mofos need to go.
They do. With that, let's hear some rage.
We'll be right back. stupid, it's stupid, it's stupid.
One man's stupid, it is another man's genius.
And so cute. Hazel.
So adorable.
Oh my God, the thermals. You guys were so tiny and adorable. I can't handle seeing tiny Kathy bouncing
just
around.
Baby in the thermals too. I thought that was really cute. We figured out, we're like, are they in pajamas? No, they're in thermals because of the thermals.
It's so cute. I know. So what did we just hear? What was the first thing we heard?
Oh gosh, we're going to be quizzed now. So that last track, that was Roseblood. Previous to that, what did we hear?
Oh, Hazel.
Hazel, yes.
Because Hazel, let me tell you, that was also, they're both on Sub Pop, the thermals and Hazel, and they both clearly had like a tiny budget for those videos because they were legit, right? Like, I was like, oh, this is fancy for the 90s, basically. But they were just, I mean, it's incredible how sparky and incredibly creative and powerful these women were so young. I was one of them, you know, playing as Miss Murgatroyd in the early 90s, booking clubs in San Francisco. Then I moved here, book clubs, ran distribution club. I did the whole thing here forever, you know, and to be 30 years deep on some of these friendships with these women, it's just like, I mean, part of the fun of making Menopunks is getting to tell their stories as musicians. Mm-hmm. And sort of learning about what happened when they were just little baby Kathy and baby Jody and baby Corin. I mean, I was there for some of it, but like, I didn't know, like, I've been hearing their stories, right? So like, Corin told me that the first show Heavens to Betsy ever played was at the Pop International Pop Underground Festival in Olympia in 1991. And I was there at that show. She's like, oh, I met you at our first show ever. I was like, that was your first show? Like, I thought she was already seasoned. She's like, no, they basically found me, you know, through a tape I had sent and wound up asking my band to play. And I'm like, oh, I better be a band.
That's amazing.
I was like, oh my God, Corin Tucker. I was like, if Corin had the same feeling as Miss Murgatroyd, like we were all just doing, she's like, I remember you, Miss Murgatroyd, you're amazing. I was like, I was a weird accordion player, but you
and
know.
And I'm sure it's just been so incredible for you all to like see each other grow and take just inspiration and support from each other. And I feel like that's so much that is what the Riot Girl scene is about, is that support, like feminine rage, but also that like serious feminine support.
It really is. And, you know, like Menopunks wouldn't exist if they didn't all hop on board and say they wanted to be a part of not just telling their own stories, but, you know, potentially being sort of in the guinea pig seat to sort of experience what good, true hormonal optimization and hormonal care looks like, you know. Mm-hmm. But these are incredibly creative, really interesting people. And, you know, after I started on HRT and I really, like, after being so miserable for multiple years, I started feeling like myself again. Mm-hmm. And I started having the energy again to play music and to feel like, and then the hot flashes went away and then like the brain fog kind of went away and, you know, all these things. And so, you know, now I'm really back to sort of better than ever. And a couple of my participants are also in this place where they're kind of on the other side and a few are not. Mm-hmm. So I think it's interesting to tell everybody's stories, whether they're reticent to be on HRT and have a reason for that, mm-hmm. or, you know, or they really just have been treated poorly by their doctors. I mean, there's a little bit of everything with all of our subjects. So, I mean, all of our participants. So mm-hmm. it's kind of cool. And I think that, like, yes, they're musicians. Yes, there are icons. There are like key people who we have loved. They have made the soundtracks to our lives, but they're also just like regular women who are like dealing with the bull crap of woo-hoo, close call, the bull of perimenopause and menopause. And, you know, like mm-hmm. it is like it's warfare out there just for us to get proper midlife healthcare. Like, I mean, it's just getting worse. Like now they're stripping us of our autonomy, of our rights, reproductive rights. Mm-hmm. And what's next? I mean, I don't want to ask because it's all so disturbing. But one of the things I really believe in is looking, like zooming out once again mm-hmm. and looking at hormonal care as non-gender specific. And I think it's really important to note that there's really only three primary, quote, sex hormones, right? Mm-hmm. It's testosterone, progesterone, and estradiol, right? Estrogen. Okay. Those are the three. And whether you are a man, a woman, or a trans person,
you have them all.
We all have them.
We have them all.
So if a man who has, by the way, men have 7 or 8 different kinds of testosterone that are made for men. Women have none.
Oh, interesting.
And so yet testosterone is one of the three primary hormones that we also need to function.
Need. Yeah, uh-huh.
And I had my testosterone tested and it was super low. And I was like, oh, this explains a lot of like symptoms I've been having that I wasn't getting resolved from the other ones. So I tried that and it did help a lot. And I have to do a lot less than they told me to because it made me a little sort of, I lost my chill a little bit, you know?
She's punching walls, guys.
I mean, those of you who are out there taking testosterone, let me tell you, like, I mean, if you're trans, you're kind of prepped for that roidiness. But, like, if you're kind of in a more just, like, general, like, I just want to feel a little better zone, just be careful with your dosage because you really, a little goes a long way. But those three hormones are the building blocks of, for all of us, and they are there to help us regenerate and heal, and they can build our bones back up and build our brains back up. And if we're out there, like people say, like, oh, it's natural, you know, just live through it, deal with it. And, you know, look, for 23 years, women, my mother included, were lied to straight up about the efficacy and the safety of hormone care, right?
Yeah.
What if, right, this is a lie? If you accept it as being the lie that it is, and you realize that not only was it a lie about what the crappy versions like horse urine estrogen and medroxy, like synthetic progesterone, it was a lie even for that, but then now we have incredibly new, like, plant-based bioidentical pharmaceuticals that are generic for the most part. You can get them as pills, as transdermal. I mean, look, some of it's still too expensive for people. A lot of insurance already only questionably covers that, though they probably fully cover it for a man. They probably cover their Viagra.
Of course, yeah, of course.
But they won't cover hormones for a lot of people. Like Providence doesn't cover that, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows if I'm at Kaiser, hopefully it will continue. But like, and you know, the what will we call them? The evil overlords who are currently like pooping upon us daily. Yes, yes. That's the word I'm going to use. Yes. Their goal is to strip all of our rights, yeah. And hormonal care is a big one of them. So hormonal optimization therapy, which is non-gendered, which is what I prefer, you know, they are already sort of banning it in the context of insurance carrying it, mm-hmm. in a lot of southern states. So right now you cannot get coverage if you are a person who doesn't answer a questionnaire right, mm-hmm. in terms of why you need those hormones you've been already getting for 6 years, right?
Wow.
I mean, yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
And that's what they're gunning for. They're gunning for all hormones, in my opinion, through trans folk who so desperately need them to realize their full potentials, right, of who they want to be and who they are.
Yeah. And all of us do. Like, you have so just evidenced, like, it's good for everyone. What benefits women benefits everybody, really.
Well, and here's the we've only got 10 minutes left, so I'll just go with my, like, final thesis. Yeah. Beyond, like, the punk rock edge of this film and the awesome hilarity of people being cranky and wonderful about what we have, what this 23 years of systematic disempowerment has wrought, you know, this horrible political thing, like, I mean, we are in a position to change things, okay? It's not just boo, woe is me, but, like, look, Gen X, come on, we are here to do this, mm-hmm. right? Like, we have to activate. And if we activate, and that includes, I mean, if we can get to 40% like they were at before, mm-hmm. with synthetic hormones, 40%. Think about this. If even just, I mean, we're at under 2%. If 20%, 30%, 5%, I mean, I'll take 10. If, mm-hmm. if a large amount of us can find relief and a better quality of life in hormonal therapy, what would happen in the world, right? Would Gen X reappear and, like, obviously take it all over and do it right? Because I'm kind of psyched that the system is imploding in some ways. I mean, I hate it.
It needs to be rebuilt. Imploded and rebuilt. Yeah.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Like, if they can take it apart in 3 months after it was built for 100 years, what is it anyway? Like, if it was already, like, that ready to be imploded from the center. I mean, I am distraught daily by all of it, but, like, this is an interesting moment to be able to think about building it back. So if we are able to hormonally optimize and really relieve the suffering of a generation, maybe two generations, maybe three, like, the thinking on when women can even start hormone therapy is completely shifted. They can titrate up in older age. It helps with osteoporosis and osteopenia.
So many things.
Heart disease, like, brain fog. You know that Alzheimer's is considered a women's disease. 70% of Alzheimer's patients are women. And Alzheimer's is something that is directly affected by estrogen deficiency. So you don't take your estrogen. You know, you might think, oh, my menopause was easy, blah, blah, blah. I don't have any hot flashes. I'm fine. Cool. Totally get that. Do what you want to do. But understand that these hormones are actually the preventative building blocks for keeping you alive and healthy and happy and not, like, in a crumbling state through your old age. So, like, how do you age better? And it's not anti-aging. It's how do you age better? How do you have a better quality of life? Yeah. That is all we should all be focused on for each other.
Yes.
You know, we should love each other and try to help each other achieve the best quality of life that they can, not sweep them off the streets and pretend like you're right when you're lying to everybody's faces. I'm not going to cuss.
No, but you're so right. You're saying it so, so well and so right. And I really hope that folks are empowered to, get on watching this amazing documentary. Will you say one more time if folks want to, like, donate and support for this amazing project that is happening, where can they do that?
So Menopunks is a feature documentary, myth-shattering perimenopause and menopause through the lens of defiant Gen X indie kind of Riot Girl era musicians, trailblazing doctors, and celebrity cranky pants who I'm going to pose what was lost to culture, politically, personally, for 23 years of systemic disempowerment. What was lost? Nobody's really answering that question, and also nobody's really answering why this was done and what was the political motivation and et cetera. So if you want to learn more about what we're doing as we're doing it, because we are making the film, it is not done, I'm sorry to say. I know I want to watch it now too, but the problem is that we have to fundraise. Like, it's like me and my credit card right now, which is kind of intense because I'm also getting married in a week and I'm making a new record with Party Witch and so many other things, and I'm a school teacher. So so if you really want to help us and help us really go for it in the fall, you can go to menopunks.com, menopunks.com. You can buy merch, you can donate money, whatever. You can also, if you don't want to do that, you can amplify our messaging, amplify the teaser, go to our Instagram, which is just Metapunks, go to our TikTok, Metapunks Film, go to our Facebook, whatever, like it, share it, amplify. Amplification, as you know, in music is very necessary to create, you know, sound that is loud enough to hear. So we believe that amplification of Metapunks is what's going to get the word out there. It's not just, I mean, we appreciate every penny and everything, but it's the amplification of those who are like-minded, who care about women, and that's not just women. It has a, it's really more the majority than, you know, anybody. I mean, we all know, like, we all know women, we love women, and even if we are women, we love, it's like we're all in this together. And so I think it's important to see this as a human issue that affects every single person that's involved with anybody that happens to be perimenopausal or menopausal. This is over half our lives. Why wouldn't we want to have help not suffering and maybe potentially even increasing our longevity and aging healthier and happier and being more like able to participate in civic discourse and change the effing world? I mean, wouldn't you want that? There it is.
Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that?
Don't you want that? Metapunks.
You're riling it up, and I'm so excited, and I hope that so many people are out there going to support this and amplify this.
Oh, yeah, and we're starting a podcast. I forgot. I buried the lead.
Speak on that a tiny bit, and I'll load up the Calamity Jane while you speak on your...
Load up Calamity Jane. There's a lot to say. Obviously, we only said a tiny portion of it today, and even the film will only be able to say so much. And ultimately, I do want to make that into a series. That's my ambition for that. And ideally, that will happen. But in the meanwhile, we are going to start a podcast through Ruminous Media in the fall, probably later September, where I interview musicians about their experiences in perimenopause and menopause and their experiences as musicians, as well as different doctors and medical professionals and practitioners and experts, and really get to the bottom of, like, why we have been subjected to this sort of cruel violation. Why half of our population has been violated for over two decades. For what reason? I'd like to know why, wouldn't you? So go to Menopunks, MENOPUNKS.com, sign up, donate, buy merch, amplify, and thank you so much, Hannah, for having me. And
thank you so much again. I'm trying to find a great Calamity Jane song track and maybe something from the Kill Rock Stars. Stars Kill Rock.
I know, I don't have my phone up, but let's,
No, that's cool. I'm trying to. It's a compilation. I thought that was a Tiger Trap song.
You can put on. We can put on All Girls Summer Fun Band if you want, and then you can come back in if you need to. With we wanted to play Calamity Jane Gilliam. Sorry, but there's a slight bit of disorganization. But
so sorry. But thank you so much again for coming on here. And it's been fabulous. And I cannot wait to see more from you, whatever you do.
Yay.